Hold up here.
You will agree with my rating.
I will agree with your rating.
You will not argue with me.
I will not argue with you.
You admit I am the best.
You guys look like the best.
You will start the podcast now.
Start the podcast now, please.
Start, Sean, start the podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Oh, wow.
There we go. Hey.
You're like the guy from Police Academy.
Yeah. I don't know. We did Police Academy.
Pew. They make sound effects.
Oh, dude. I looked up to that guy so much.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and they made a whole movie about it.
A whole movie about it?
Wow.
Or with him?
With him.
Like starring him and then used his sound effects?
And I'm Kit Galbraith. I'm really excited to be here.
It's hard to do Bobcat Goldwyn without probably
screaming.
Yeah, screaming and exploding our mic. So thank you for not taking it.
I was holding back.
Another level. Anyways, everybody, welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, where we watch the first episode or Hey, welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, where we watch the first episode, or in this case, parts 1 and 2 of a new show on a streaming service, and pair it with a movie from our childhood. This time we're looking at the muchly anticipated Obi-Wan Kenobi part 1 and part 2 on Disney Plus, and then we're going to be looking back at our first Star Wars experience, the 1977 film A New Hope, episode 4. I'm Sean, and this is the guy I've been watching movies with since 1989. And we watch this movie a lot. Here's Russ. Russ.
Thanks, radio announcer Sean.
You're welcome.
Don't forget, you can email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com or follow us on the Instagram at jarp_podcast.
Yes, it's been a while. I've forgotten. I don't need to lay it on thick with the radio voice.
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
I can just kind of talk normal. Sort of. Normal.
We can't talk normal
Not
anymore.
Not completely normal, but you know.
So this is Obi-Wan. Is it Wan or Wan?
Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. And yeah, like I said, we decided to watch part 1 and part 2.
Because we released them at the same time.
Yeah, and because we could. And because we know that you all probably did too.
Yeah.
So.
Series directed by Deborah Chow.
Deborah Chow. Yeah, she did some cool stuff. American Gods. She worked on
Mando season 1.
Oh, she did some Mando work.
Yeah.
No wonder. So she got her foot in the door.
Yep.
Nice. She did something else too. Sorry. I'm going to go quickly.
No,
quickly
that's
check,
okay.
Deborah Chow.
What did Deborah Chow do?
No, she did some American Gods. Oh, Better Call Saul. Yeah.
Oh,
Better Call Saul. You're something you quite like.
I like Saul.
I've liked what I've seen, the one episode I've seen of it. And she did some Mr. Robot. So she's done some good cinematic television.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to come back to that.
Oh, okay.
She's done some good.
Can't wait.
Cinematic.
She has
television.
Oh, I see where you're going here.
Yes.
This show stars a whole cast of characters.
Tons of people.
And you know, I recognize some of these characters.
Like who?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
You ever heard of him?
I have.
Trainspotting.
Great.
Big movie for us.
Great. Oh, you know what movie I just watched?
Shallow Grave.
I did. How did you know that?
Because that's one of my favorite.
Oh, did I tell you that I watched
no,
it?
No, I just love Shallow Grave.
Yeah, no, I had hemorrhoid surgery, so I've got stitches up my ankle, so I've been just sitting around, not really.
I wanted to get to this. I feel like we should spend a lot of time
on this. I've been floating in the bathtub watching a boatload of movies, trying to get myself back to normal. And
we thought we had a schedule of releasing podcasts every 2 weeks, but that's been thrown out the door
totally
with Sean's butt things. Surgery.
Yes, but it is over now.
Don't get old, kids.
It's in the past. It's in the rear view mirror.
Goodness.
Oh my god. And hopefully we have nipped it in the butt.
Oh my goodness, here we go again.
But I do currently have stitches up my ass right now, so we might have to take a small break.
And
I don't know.
Yeah, what would you do during this break?
I would probably go walk around a little bit, because standing still, it's
and I'd
whatever.
Just sit here.
Yeah, and you'd laugh at
Ewan
my
McGregor. Shallow Grave. So
back to that.
Christopher Eccleston, his character's name is the same as like a very close person in my life, which I always thought was kind of neat. And it was just a really cool story, and I don't know if it holds up. Does it hold up?
It does. It does, because good. You know what? There's nothing other than really good camera work and good acting. There's no reliance on special effects, and the story, it's still suspenseful as always, and I love the ending still. Spoiler alert, Ewan McGregor, on the floor, bleeding out, laughing with a big grin on his face because he has the money hidden under the floorboards.
Right. He gets a drill in the head or something like that.
Almost, yeah. The guy starts to put the drill to his forehead and just kind of puts it in a tiny bit to nick him a little bit. But yeah, and then eases up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. We should be rating Ewan McGregor movies. Mm. Best Ewan McGregor films.
There you go.
Do you want to do that?
Sure. One time we can.
Okay, let's do it one other time.
Yeah, not right now.
Not right now. We're not ready for this.
Okay, who else is that you recognized as in, let's get back to Obi-Wan. Well, so we got Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, let's stick with the who have we seen in Star Wars movies in the past. Okay. Joel Edgerton as Uncle Owen.
And where was he in Star Wars in the past?
He was in the last, he was in episode 3.
Oh, did they show him at the very end?
Yeah, they actually showed him. Oh. So he actually was like a small part. In what is episode 3's name? You just said
Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Horrible.
Really putting the cards down early.
I would say it's the worst one.
Out of the 3.
Out of the 9.
Out of the prequels. Oh, out of all 9.
Out of all 9. I would say that Revenge, or maybe the Clone Wars. I don't know. But that's neither here nor there. That's not what
we're talking about. Anyways, good for them for casting Joel Edgerton back in the day.
That guy is awesome actor.
I'd watch an Uncle Owen Lars, you know, series on Disney Plus.
Just what? Watch him farm all day?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, like a slow TV. TV set up on the front of a
like
train.
Like Yellowstone, but it'd be like Star Wars farmers.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's just trying to survive against the sand people at night, and they'd come at night and shit like that. There's a swear jar.
Yeah, every time Sean swears, he puts a coin in the jar and the lotion in the basket. Mm-hmm.
Put your lotion in the basket.
Yeah, I think I'd watch that. And him just trying to expand his homestead, like the water farming.
Be cool. Maybe if they took a mature approach to it, it would be good.
Yeah, I'm into it. So another Yellowstone knock. With Uncle Lars.
There we go. I'm sign up. Sign me up.
Jimmy Smits is back.
Does this guy age, Jimmy Smits?
I feel like he looks a little bit older.
He does look a little bit old, but come on. This guy was just, you know, raking it in. What, Law and Order, was it? The lawyer show.
NCIS or no. Something blues.
Where's Jimmy Smits from? Oh my God, Jimmy Smits. He's not even, where's he in this cast list here? I'm trying to find him.
Wait, you don't see Jimmy Smits?
Jimmy Smits.
Well, your thing is, I don't think he's going to be in all 6 episodes.
Oh, there he is. There's Jimmy Smits.
And before LA Law, that's what it was LA called. Law. LA Law. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Look, eight years, probably nine seasons.
Oh, good for you and your.
Yeah. 107 episodes. So he did a.
Yeah. He's been around.
Oh, dude. And look, he was on NYPD Blue for 10, LA Law for 8. And then amongst all the movies and stuff,
he was in Rogue One for about 8 seconds.
Man, Jimmy Smits is the shits. They should
Jimmy
just,
Schmitz shits.
He should just change his name to Jimmy the Shits.
You know who's the shit? Schmidt. Flea. No, that's not. Anyways, Hayden Christensen is back as Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, we got a little tease of that at the end of episode 2.
He didn't look too good in that.
It looked a little worse tank. For wear. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess he got burned up in that least favorite Star Wars.
Yeah, but
movie.
That water feels good on the burns.
Boba Fett got in there all the time.
Mm, yeah, just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun.
With Baby Fett.
With Boba and Baby?
Boba and I don't know, just the female version of Boba Fett.
But we've got some new characters or new cast as well. So Vivian Lyra Blair as Leia Organa. She's a 10-year-old Leia.
Spoiler, Princess Leia is in this.
Oh, shoot, we'll get into that. Moses Ingram as Inquisitor Reva. And Rupert Friend as Grand Inquisitor. Kumail Nanjiani is here as Haja Astrid.
Kumail Nanjiani, that's your friend, right? You really like that guy.
I like it. He's freaking hilarious, that guy. He's tough now ever since he got into the Marvel Disney universe.
Right, now he's all ripped and
he's no longer the same comedian that was in
right.
Those lovely shows. And then Flea.
Flea. Says, Flea, great. Thank God Flea is in this.
Downtown.
Okay. Let's just get into this Obi-Wan show.
Okay, here's the synopsis. Obi-Wan Kenobi, a last ember of a dying age, is living off the grid in Tatooine under the alias Ben Kenobi.
How could anybody know that was him?
Day after day, he works on the assembly line, butchering meat from a giant desert mantis. At the end of each shift, he steals a little piece of meat just for him or his Eopi mount, which is a creature native to Tatooine that looks like an elephant and camel had sex.
But really cute.
He lives in a rock outcropping cave-type building with a buried
no doors.
R2-D2 acting as a security system. Sometimes he rides across the desert and spies on a young Luke Skywalker. But Uncle Owen wants Ben, hashtag Kenobi, to stay away because Obi-Wan did a terrible job raising Luke's father, Anakin, a.k.a. Darth Vader.
He made him lose his arms and legs.
Doesn't matter because they tricked us. This show isn't about Obi-Wan and Luke. It's about Obi-Wan and Leia. The other Skywalker twin that's equally important, which is weird. They didn't point that out in the first three films.
Totally.
Leia lives on the planet Alderaan, which is totally still there and not blown up, under the alias Leia Organa. And she's 10 years old, but she doesn't sound like she's 10.
No, she's a lot older.
Leia is kidnapped by the third sister, Inquisitor Reva.
But not her sister.
Who found a link between Obi-Wan and Organa in the archives and is trying to earn favor from Darth Vader, I assume. And then Obi-Wan rescues her. And that's
but does he?
Yeah, no. Wow. Well, they get on that freighter ship.
They're on a freighter. But what's next?
They're getting away. But I mean,
They are on their way.
They have left the planet.
Oh, man. I wanted to love this show so bad. I was really hoping this was going to root us back down to the Star Wars we remember as kids. You know, a little dark, a little more mature than what we've been getting lately. But alas, I didn't love it. I just liked it.
Mm, I like it a lot.
Yeah, no.
Mm. You just kind of...
I just like it.
You kind of like it.
Yeah. The opening fight was cool, though. It was cool to see...
Some Order 66.
Order 666?
I think it's 66.
I think it's just 66. I've got 666 here. That sounds a lot more sinister.
Is that a highway in...
Highway 666. Yes. I believe I've driven. The
United States of America?
Yeah.
You've driven it?
I think so. It's out near Death Valley in Las Vegas, so I believe I hit that up.
In the desert.
Maybe not. Somewhere. But you know what I did like about this, Russ? Ewan McGregor. I mean, how can you not like this guy? Even if things are falling flat or gone sideways or what, you know, this guy is still giving an amazing performance and was a young Al McInnes, this is the role he was meant to play, I think. You know, maybe not his greatest role ever, but he makes a great Obi-Wan Kenobi, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I'm a big Ewan fan. I love the dry wit. I think he does a good job. I think obviously we both watched because we already introduced it. We watched The New Hope, and I liked kind of comparing how each actor approached the role. I thought Ewan and Joel Edgerton like really, you know, paid homage to the original character.
Absolutely. That was really cool. Yeah, it's really cool to go and then watch A New Hope, which we'll get into, but then see how, you know, Ewan McGregor took Al McGinnis's or Guinness's or Al's or the other guy, Mick Guinness, old guy. I think it's just Guinness. Yeah. Why I want to put a Mick in front of that, I don't know.
Because McDonald's should really get into that
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. But yeah.
They have the Shamrock Shakes. Why can't they have the Shamrock Guinness?
Use the Force, Luke. You know, he's got this, it's just awesome.
I liked this show as well. I definitely preferred part one. I liked the pacing and the feel of the first episode. I just love to sit in the Star Wars universe. And when we're just sitting watching Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of live off the grid, I like that. That's all I need for me. And it's just new and it's interesting and it's... And then it becomes not so new or interesting as it goes into.
And surprise, we all thought maybe we were going to get a bit of a Luke story.
Bait and switch here.
Or something. And then all of a sudden we get a, at first they didn't go right out and say her name at first, but you kind of get teased. You're like, is that? No. And then sure enough, you get a little 10-year-old Princess Leia who gets kidnapped and goes on a little adventure. But she's a good little actress, this Vivian Blair. But she didn't quite steal the show. I still have a problem with kids.
Well, we're going to start our segment, our podcast segment called Did They Do the Kids Right?
Right.
This is where Sean talks about how the direction production actors did not portray real life kids based on real life behavior.
She did okay. She did good in you know, in the cute moments and some of the funny bits and all that. But you know, when it's time to sort of the serious beats get a little lost, you know, they don't quite have the same screen presence as their counterpart, you know, Ewan McGregor. But I thought she did a really good job. Hoping maybe they would have been better off had they casted somebody maybe in their later teens and then made her maybe just a couple years older, and then they could, you know, make an older actress look a little bit younger, maybe more along the 13. You know, they could use a 16-year-old to play a 13-year-old.
I think it's also in the writing for me. Like, I just don't feel like, I don't like the trope of, like, kids that are smarter than the adults. Like, I don't.
Right, yeah, they make her quite witty, you know, and smart and clever, which is fine. And we know that young kids can be, but it, like you're saying, maybe it would make sense if it came from more of a teenager.
Right. Yeah. Kids can be cheeky and they can have a little, but you know, and unfortunately I fell asleep watching the second episode, so I had to go back to it. So I may have missed something in the whole like kidnapping thing, but like a 10-year-old kidnapped, that's pretty freaking scary. And then she's like being rescued and running through these streets of an alien planet. Like, that's like, for a 10-year-old, I don't know a 10-year-old that would just like take it. Would take it the way she took it. And still have like the cognitive ability to like be emotionally intelligent and be able to pick up on all these concepts. Like, I saw a picture of you. That must mean that you're the reason I'm here, that they're using me as bait. Like, how do you, as a 10-year-old, after being kidnapped, like, figure that all out? I just felt that was too far-fetched.
Yeah, she figured, and then they used her as her figuring it out as exposition, right, and this and that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I feel like exactly. A kid would be like, why, you know, why is there a picture of you? This doesn't make sense. What's going on?
Yeah, I wanted to see a little 10-year-old girl. I don't care how well you've been prepared and how mature you are, beyond the years you are, you know, that little girl locked inside that little chamber without her little robot is going to be bawling her eyes out.
It's super traumatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have liked to see, you know, obviously this is a Disney show, it's a family show. For sure. We're not going to see what the true, how traumatic that could be, but I would rather see a little girl. I'd like to see Obi-Wan Kenobi interacting with a child, not someone
completely lost, doesn't know what's going on. You know, that's a struggle enough for him to have to deal with while running from the law, let alone some little, you know, witty comeback. And let's be honest, come on, some of those chase scenes that they involved her very, very poorly choreographed. There's this one, the chase scene in the forest when the initial kidnappers are trying to, like, she ducks under a low-hanging branch and all of a sudden the kidnapper all of a sudden gets caught up by this low-hanging branch that they could have easily just ducked. It was just, it was comical. It was bad. It was like in slow motion, and then the market chase as well. It just really sucked me out of when I was starting to enjoy it. Then they had these action scenes that just complete
adult's chasing a 10-year-old, they're gonna get that 10-year-old in seconds.
Especially if you're a Jedi
and we're seeing Ewan McGregor like beat the crap out of people. He can move quickly, he's strong, and then these bounty hunters are obviously, that's their profession, they got to be strong, they got to move quickly. There's no way. You're right, it just like it takes you out of it a little bit. You're just like, well, that's and I don't know if it's like this whole feeling like when we saw episodes 7, 8, and 9, how they kind of like, it was a little bit of like refocusing on Leia and you know, being less sexist and just putting her more forward as an important figure, and that she has agency and that she has strength. And so I don't know if this is trying to get a better sense of like, well, you know, Leia was super brilliant as a kid. Like, I don't know if that they're just trying to recreate her in for the audience eye. I'm not sure. It just seems to have gone all like this pendulum has swung too far on one side. I just would have preferred to see a kid.
Girl power, like Princess Leia is awesome, you know, fully independent, strong.
She turns out to be an amazing adult,
for
but
sure,
you don't have to
be
like
still a 10-year-old girl
yeah,
at the
exactly.
point. Yeah, yeah, that can't be all thrown out the window, you know, yeah, just regular human reactions to things. Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept that in mind when I watched The New Hope, is just to see like, okay, how smart is this character Leia? And she definitely has a lot of, like, she's super brave. She's super stubborn. She's like quick with the wit. She's able to like go head to head, toe to toe with Tarkin, and has a good sense of humor. But like, I didn't see that same emotional intelligence that this character is playing at 10.
No. Yeah. And I mean, we'll get into that later down in New Hope, but I think we're dealing with two different totally realms of Star Wars now. You know what I mean? Like, we had what we had back in the day. It was more mature. It was more, I don't know, grounded, you know, and now it's commercialized. It's fluff. It's all for the family. And, you know, a lot of that more kind of serious undertone stuff gets overlooked and pushed aside in order to, you know, I don't know, sell more toys. I don't know. Or just give it a broader stroke so that it applies and is more, has a greater reach for, and a bigger fan base. I don't know, but
maybe
something
just,
is definitely
they're overthinking
lost.
It too much. Yeah. I think it's just more of a writing choice
and again, with the fight scenes there, I just thought it was really poor directing. And even some of these actors that this Deborah Chow is working with, great, but they're just falling flat. Like Benny Safdie, fantastic actor. This is homework for you, Russ. You got to watch Good Times with Robert Pattinson and this Benny Safdie guy. He directed it, but he also stars alongside Robert Pattinson. It'll totally change the way you think about Robert Pattinson. Anyways, he's this
what
brilliant.
What do you think about Robert Pattinson?
I don't know. Maybe you like him already.
Maybe.
But, it made me like Robert Pattinson. It totally switched gears from always thinking him as the vampire teeny bopper to now actually a serious actor with range. Anyways, go watch Good Times. It is good.
That's my homework.
Yeah, okay. That's your homework. Anyways, to get back onto it, I just think that these two episodes were poorly directed and the fight scenes were badly choreographed. And, you know, I also noticed that the director was the executive producer, and maybe the same sort of thing with like a George Lucas syndrome is going in. You know, you've got the person at the very top who's also directing. So maybe people on the crew or her creative support aren't, I don't know. Maybe they're not, people aren't chiming in to say, hey, you know what? This is, maybe why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Who knows what's going on set? But I'm saying, you know, maybe these people are real, you know, at the top of the food chain who are also directing, maybe they're not quite getting as honest feedback along the way as, you know, I don't know.
Because but you do know, you just didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, there you
didn't,
go.
I'm
just trying to see why.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Because.
Well, I think with the Marvel properties, like even when you get like Sam Raimi to direct the Doctor Strange, I don't think there's a full, the full reality is that their directing responsibilities are taken away quite a lot by the larger mechanism of Marvel properties.
Right.
So they don't have true director creativity and ownership as if it was just a standalone film. There's a lot of other people chiming in. And that's quite possibly too with these Disney. So maybe no matter what, even though it's directed by Deborah Chow, it's not really ever fully directed by anybody.
Yeah, maybe. Because like I said, I looked at her credits and she's done some good, like I guess you would call them TV episodes. You know, American Gods, Mr. Robot, and Better Call Saul. And these are very like cinematic looking shows. You know what I mean? Like they almost translate one-to-one with something in the theater that you would see. Whereas this, I felt this is very soap opery at times, you know, like
very small.
Like it seemed like the camera work was too simple and all the setups were really simple and just everything. It felt like a soap opera at times. And it really made me think, like, I don't understand why there's such a disconnect between what we see made for TV and then what we see made for the theater. They're all using the same cameras. They're all using the same lights. They're even using some of the same directors and all this, but yet there's such a quality difference.
Well, how much, but you know that dome that they're filming, like they created Mandalorian in, like that, where all
right, the virtual production screens, set. Yeah.
So it's all like, you know, a screen dome where they
that's
actually
what I was thinking. Maybe you think it's like the constraints of where they're
maybe, filming? Maybe, because and maybe that's a secrecy thing that they choose. Like they don't do a lot of like sets outside this studio. And so everything is small.
Maybe, and then they're really handcuffed about how creative they can get in such a more confined space.
Know? Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, but yeah, but like I said, it's funny. No, yeah, because you go and watch a Rogue One, for example. I'm gonna lean on that one because I find that a very well crafted Star Wars film, and a more mature, something more of what I'm looking for out of the Star Wars universe, anyways. But yeah, and to put that side by side with this, it just doesn't hold up. Obi-Wan.
Right.
Just doesn't, you know, as far as just the fidelity of it. And then, like I said, I don't understand. All the tools and tech is there, but yet all these shows that are sort of expanding these theater experiences, that's what they look like. They look like soap opera versions of the... No?
I think the budgets of the shows are a lot less than the budgets of a movie, for sure.
But 10 episode, come on. This has got to have a serious budget to it, though.
Well, I'm sure it does, but I just don't think it's the same budget.
Maybe it was rushed, too. I don't know. Anyways, I talked too much.
It was supposed to be on May the 4th, and it was on a lot later in the month. So, obviously it was delayed less than 30 days.
What about Flea? Tell me about Flea.
get away now. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. He's fleas in it. Who cares? He's dead by the end of episode 2. Yeah, it's just fun. I think it's just fun. Like, how cool would that be? Like, you're Flea, and you're like, hey, can I get a part in Star Wars?
In Star Wars? Yeah.
Sure. I mean, he's not, like, that known by, I don't think, in the new generation.
No, I don't think they'd even know anybody. Who he is, yeah.
I think it's just kind of like a fun thing when we see him. You're like, it's Flea. But, I mean, Mandalorian season 1, episode 1, did a lot of that. Like, they had some... characters in there that you kind of just smiled at the fact that they use these people, and usually they're comedians, and sometimes they're, is Flea the bassist or the guitarist?
He's the bassist, yeah.
Oh, okay. I usually don't pay attention to what he's playing because he's naked. I'm just looking at his big personality.
You say you like the you've got a note here. You like the divide between the Inquisitors factions, and whereas I had a hard time getting scared by these bad guys or feeling any sense of threat because they just can't seem to all get along and work together. And when you kind of see that, you see them all fighting amongst each other behind the scenes. No one follows who and all that, so it's I don't know.
I like it because there's this I think that's been consistent through all the Star Wars movies, is there's always like there seems to be a little bit like you see the generals in the Empire, and then you see how they relate to Darth Vader, and sometimes there's like respect and sometimes there's fear and sometimes there's just a disregard, and Darth Vader always seems to be kind of doing his own thing, even though he's obviously got a lot of weight in the Empire. You saw it even New Hope. Sometimes people would like talk against him. So I like the fact that like there's the Empire trying, obviously, not good, but obviously trying to maintain a certain level of, decorum or, cause even they were commenting about, the Inquisitors were commenting about like, you don't steal a child. Like we're trying to like keep keep things in control. Like they've got a lot of
We're trying to get things done, but not cross. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They're willing to cross the line, but there's a certain sense of
there's still politics.
Ethics. They're trying to
bring exactly
to the table.
But then you see like this ethics is not being followed by the Imperial, by the Inquisitor, the
Reva's,
and so she's able to act within the system, but still kind of do her own thing without I just found that all interesting.
She didn't want to follow orders anymore, so she took care of the main Inquisitor there.
Yeah, which I don't watch the cartoons, but supposedly there's like, but I believe the cartoons are canon. There is a clear like life expectancy of this character out within the cartoon. So perhaps he's not actually dead. But well, I guess we'll have to see.
I guess we'll wait and see.
We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, and I'm okay with the bait and switch. I'm happy that this is about
I was happy Leia. To see Princess there.
Yeah. I think it makes sense, especially when you watch New Hope and you know that, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. There is an established understanding and a relationship between Leia and Obi-Wan, and now we're getting to see the origins of that, which is cool.
For sure. They just did it mediocrely.
Which, not as well as we hoped. And I'm happy Kumail Nanjiani is here. I think it's a good, like, he has a good, his humor is a nice compliment to, like, you know, Hugh McGregor's humor as Kenobi. So maybe they'll be able to play off each other for a couple more episodes.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. He'll be back. He did this kind of smirky smile, like,
a thief with a heart of gold kind of thing.
Is he? Yeah.
I guess so. Like, he's there for a buck, but he's also, like, has a moral compass.
Yeah, I think he's got alternate alternate
Han Solo.
Plans. Yeah.
Like a Han Solo
with magnets in his hands. Predictions. We think Obi-Wan and Darth Vader will have another face-to-face battle.
I guess so. Yeah.
I was thinking that. And I think they're going to set us up for that, but then I watched A New Hope, and we'll get into that. And
we're already into it.
Okay,
we're already
there. And Darth Vader, when they with their final epic showdown between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader at the end of A New Hope, Darth Vader says to him, he's like, the last time, and I'll probably butcher this, you know, the last time I saw you, you know, I was the student and you were the master, and now things are different. So I was thinking, I was like, maybe they don't, because at this point in time, I can't see Darth Vader still considering himself a student. Right. So if they met again now, he would think, okay, I'm your equal. We're meeting now. But then he said that in A New Hope, saying, oh, the last time we saw, it's like, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
Maybe he's always on the heels of Obi-Wan and never quite catches
it. And they don't, and they haven't played like word to word, you know, a direct following of what they said in New Hope. Like, lots of things have changed since A New Hope, and they've kind of taken liberty on what how characters were introduced and what was said at the time. I would assume that by the end of this season, or if they ever do another season, that they're going to have to, Darth is going to have to believe Obi-Wan is gone or dead in order for him to not, like, have his sole purpose of life just trying to search out Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to need to be some sort of closure, whether, you know, believable or not. But what are other predictions for you?
I don't think we're going to see Luke because of that. You know, Luke's, I don't think we're going to get a little adventure with Luke because, again, I don't think he gets his first adventure until 1977.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he's just the crazy guy that lives out on his own.
And like in A New Hope, he's never said, you know, my life's boring. Oh, except for that one part when I was 10 years old. Right. And, you know, yeah, no.
All right, should we rate this?
This is where it's rated.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
Sean.
Background for us. Oh, okay. Sean describes rating. Okay. This is the part where we rate the episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't believe in zeros. 5 is the best thing in the universe, and 1 is it did not hold your interest. It just was not very good. Russ, your turn. Go.
I'm going to say I gave this a 2.5. I found it interesting. It's definitely held my interest because of what it is. Nothing really shocked me. Nothing really surprised me. I think if you wipe away the Star Wars and the Kenobi and the Ewan McGregor of it all, I'm not sure there's enough here to really keep me interested. Some very kind of tropes of that I don't really enjoy or choose to enjoy. So, yeah, 2.5.
Okay, well, I won't quite agree with your Jedi mind control here, but I'm not too far off. I'm at 3. Yeah. And you know what? I tried to get it higher with my little sort of JARP rating calculator thing.
For you.
But no, I could not crack the 3.5 mark, so it stays at 3. I'll completely agree with you. I think without Ewan McGregor and some of the high-end CGI, that this story in itself just, it doesn't hold up. I gave it 3, just a little bit better than mediocre, I think, because I was interested in it for a bit. I did watch both episodes back to back. So yeah, I guess sort of its engagement gave it a little bit higher than mediocre, but not too much. Yeah. I will continue watching this because that is my job now. I think the only thing I'm chomping at the bit for is I want to see Darth Vader.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
So yeah, I'm eager to, yeah, well, we know we'll see him, but just in what kind of context and how badass is he going to be? And yeah, so we'll see.
Oh, he's going to be bad.
He's going to be super bad.
I'll be back.
The year was 1977.
I was just jizz.
I was an egg.
Can start again.
The year was 1977. And our heroes, Russ and Sean, weren't born yet.
They were being made.
They were
in the movie theater.
At Star Wars! My dad reeled my mom at Star Wars.
They were clones. Yeah, we obviously weren't around when this movie came out in 1977.
No.
Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope. But we did watch it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What's your memory of watching this as a child?
I don't remember, like, I remember just bits and pieces because obviously I was quite young when I first watched this, probably 5 or 6. I remember the VHS box, what it looked like, you know, Luke with the saber and Leia's hanging off the side of him and the big sort of skull looking Darth Vader in the background. I remember my dad, I don't know, we went out to McDonald's first. I got chicken nuggets. I remember.
Did you get a McGinnis?
No, I didn't. I might have got a McShamrock shake. Oh. Who knows? But anyways, it was really, I remember it was a super sunny evening. I went and had McDonald's at the park and then came home and watched a Star Wars on VHS. Mm-hmm. It's this magnetic tape that you would put inside this machine.
What's a VHS? Yeah, and I think we've all watched Archive 81, Sean. We know what tapes are.
Anyways, for the younger people of our audience. Anyways, and then Star Wars, my life was changed forever.
Oh, interesting.
You know?
I have no memory watching this as a kid, but as teenagers, we used to watch this movie a lot. I feel like it would be a movie on at parties.
Mike Henry would always throw on the trilogy when we'd go and hang out at his house.
Yeah, so when we'd just be in there, I use the word parties loosely, but, you know, a gathering of folks where maybe some beverages and some chatting and some cheesy snacks, and then just in the background, you'd have all the Star Wars
Peach cooler.
Oh yeah, 2 liter.
Don't forget about the 2 liter of peach cooler that you were drinking.
Yeah, probably. Because it was sweet and didn't taste like alcohol. So here we are, Star Wars Episode 4.
Right off the bat. You went back, you watched it. What'd you think?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, it was good.
I freaking loved going back to watching this, man. You know what? Like, and here I'm going to touch base again on a lot of the mature things I've always said. But, you know, I was worried that this movie seemed more, a little bit darker, more mature than the prequels and the post, I don't know, what do you call 7, 8, 9? The
postals.
The postals. Okay, the prequels and the postals. I thought maybe, it just seemed more mature because you watched it when you were younger. It's really going to be like campy and kiddie like the rest of them. But no, surprisingly, it is not. And I loved that. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. It's not some Oscar caliber drama. The visual effects are Oscar caliber, definitely for the time that it was made. But they took a more serious approach to this than they do to the Star Wars fodder these days. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I mean, I just like freaking George Lucas, like he deserves everything that he's got. I mean, the ambition that guy had, like in 1977 to do that. And little did he know it would take over the whole, universe. But just all that shit. I think he did win an Oscar.
I think they got a technical achievement, yeah. One of those big technical achievement ones, and editing and sound design, I believe they got
costume, maybe too. But yes, so here we go.
Much more cinematic. 2 hour runtime. 2 hour runtime for an action movie. That's a little long. I was thinking, maybe that's just extended from all the extra added scenes. But really, I mean, not too much was added. As you know, when they went back, when the prequels came out, you know, they went back to these originals and added in a couple extra scenes that were either omitted. They vamped them up. They kind of remastered the whole thing and they redid some of the sort of wide establishing shots. But yeah, I don't think that was enough to add a significant amount of time. So this was, for back in the day, this was a lengthy action movie. So, but yeah, good roller coaster ride. Lots of action throughout. Certainly didn't seem like 2 hours.
No, it was good. And as soon as Harrison Ford comes in too, and just his ability to deliver lines and his chemistry and
banter, his swagger is just so gold in this. You know, he's just
and some really funny line. Like my favorite line still is like when they're in the trash compactor and they're screaming that R2-D2, was able to turn it off.
Oh, they're
dying! Yeah, C-3PO thinks they're screaming, they're dying.
They're dying, listen to them.
They're dying, R2. It's super funny. And then the Han Solo with, everything's okay here. No problems, like that whole...
Just a weapons malfunction.
Yeah, don't
we're sending anybody. A squad up. Negative. He's like, the conversation was getting boring anyways.
Yeah.
Luke, we got... Yeah, he's great. Like, probably had tons of fun and playing that character. Just I don't know. Just again, all the little quips and quirks and stuff. I'm not quite sure all that was written in. Maybe it was. I don't know. But yeah, Harrison Ford sure brought something to the table with that character. You know, definitely a standout performance in that movie.
Yeah, because I like Mark Hamill, but I mean, I think his portrayal of Luke in those early years. He was just a dopey little kid.
Exactly. He's the farm boy, growing up.
Or kind of funny now as little memes.
I was going to the thing to get some power converters. Right.
And so that alone, I don't think does it. But then you get Carrie Fisher in there. You get Harrison Ford in there. Alec Guinness. It just kind of takes it on a whole.
And then, level. Get those two droids in there. And I was thinking, we're watching this scene, and other than a little bit of Leia and Darth Vader, you know, we get the C-3PO and the RTD2 for about a good R2D2 for about a good 20 minutes alone on the screen
to
start off the whole thing. Yeah, and their little quips together. But no, going back and watching this, C-3PO is a dick to R2-D2, man. He was about to leave him with the Jawas until that one short circuit, and then he's like, oh, yeah. But no, seriously, he took one look back at R2-D2, he got powered off.
Different
and
time.
Walked away.
Not all characters have to have amazing empathy. But then he's
my master's getting crushed in the garbage compactor. But he'll leave his best friend to die in the desert.
They didn't pick him. You know who's mean to droids?
Mm.
Everyone. shut up.
So droids mean to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the behavior they're getting from humans. Like as he's trying to tell Owen what kind of features he has, Owen's just like, yeah, shut up. Okay, I've heard enough. And so he's like, all right,
So I really decided to dissect C-3PO and see what his purpose was. And the guy's fucking useless. I mean,
he's a translator. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's his thing. I think his only function for these entire movies is just to translate. He's the middleman between people and R2-D2.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Even though most people seem to understand R2-D2.
Yeah, but
anyways.
Even still, he's like, oh. So yeah, it's like, oh, C-3PO, you're a piece of shit. I'm Team R2-D2 now, for sure.
Oh, no, good for you.
The sand people. That scene was always scary for me as a kid. The when Luke first gets knocked out. I remember as a kid that scene always scaring the shit out of me. Oh,
I thought I just loved how you think about now where we are today, and you've got the Boba Fett show, which really showed, because now you've got when you watch A New Hope under Disney Plus, they've got the additions they added when they developed the prequels in the 1999 when they brought back those and they added the additional special effects and they added that deleted scene where, Obi-Wan is, or not Obi-Wan, but Han Solo is
with
talking
Jabba.
To Jabba.
Yeah.
And so you have Boba Fett now in the original Star Wars.
Right, yeah,
and
they put him in the side
and
there.
And so to kind of see where both those characters kind of go with Boba, the Boba Fett show, I think is cool. I enjoyed that aspect of the Boba Fett show the whole time he spent in the desert with the... No, they're called something different. They're not just called sand people. Tusken Raiders. And Tusken Raiders got a little bit more, again, you know, more respect than, you know, as far as natives to Tatooine and what they may have been going through. And maybe they were just protecting themselves and not just deadly killers.
Right, right.
I like that. I like, and even just the tool, like that was such a big, like when you see the Tusken Raiders with their tools, their staff or what have you,
yeah,
and just how that design has carried through so many years later and was such a huge part of the Boba Fett show as far as like him finding his own tool. I thought that was like, that's so cool.
Yeah. Like a lot of the art design that was done in the original 1970 has carried over here now, carried over for 40,
and they make it so 45 years now.
Like, yeah.
Like how much thought was actually done in creating that staff or creating some of these machines that you see are reused in the Mandalorian or something like that. Yeah. Like that's so cool.
Yeah. And I love how they've brought that through story, you know, of the art decor, you know, and how things look, and something they've been really, really consistent with, you know, throughout
with the Filoni universe, which is, I think, is smart.
Again, you know, just coming back when he figured out that the gig is up and the Empire is on his tail, he goes back home to his farm to find his aunt and uncle all toasty burndied on the crown there. Kind of forgot about that scene, but yeah, you get a nice kind of, not a nice shot, but you get a pretty dark nice shot of shot. Some toasty skeletons on the ground. Yeah. Something a Star Wars these days would not have in it. I would guarantee you.
Well, and also like
a shot that, like that would not exist in a Star. If New Hope was to be done today with the Star, yeah.
When they're in the cantina and Obi-Wan cuts off that creature's hand and you see the arm with the blood on the ground, like that's the, like my kid walked by as I was watching. She's like, "Oh, what are you watching?"
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's kind of cool.
And then again, we were watching this stuff when we were like 5 or 6 years old. So how awesome is that, you know, to be an 80s kid and we get this kind of stuff. So, yeah, something that is lost these days for sure. I just got a note here. I don't mind the revamped establishing shots, but the parts that I do mind is when they added in the little campy CGI characters in the side or in the fore. Like it did not fit in these at all. Maybe in Return of the Jedi at some parts, but in A New Hope, I wish they had just, you know, beautify the wide shots a little bit and then leave it alone. These little CGI characters, I get it why they did it, but it just does not work.
I just feel like that's come such a long way in the last 21 years too. Like if you're going to do it once, do it again. Like you got Disney Plus, like make that Jabba look bigger, look better, make those creatures in the,
you should give them another facelift.
Yeah. Eh? Yeah. 100%. Like you've done it once.
I think they've done it like 3 times. Now.
Oh, have they?
Oh yeah, man. Well, cause they remastered them.
They just
them.
Did it for the prequels.
Well, see, they, I'm probably butchering this too, but they brought back the originals into the theater before the prequels.
Right. And I think, and that was where they remastered it. And that's what I thought it always went back to that
time. I thought they remastered it, but I'm not sure they put any new scenes in then yet. And then they put in new scenes another 10 years. I'm not sure. But anyways, I believe they've touched them up a couple times now.
Oh, okay. I thought they just touched them up that once with the release of the prequels. Oh. And that's what we're watching. Because the technology does feel very much like the creature effects at that time.
So they're doing the trench run, right? Okay. And and one of the unsuccessful squadrons of X-Fighters and they're trying to, that first attempt at the trench run. And this is why I love watching it with captions on, because you get the actual names of the pilots. And one of the heavier set pilot's name is Porkins. His name was actually Porkins. And he's all in trouble. He's like, "Shit, I'm hit." And his buddy's like, "Eject, eject." He's like, "No, I'm going down." His name's Porkins. But I was thinking to myself, eject? Where the fuck are you going to eject to?
They don't even have masks.
He doesn't even have a full face mask. He's just going to eject out into deep space and get the life vacuumed out of you. It's better than exploding.
Maybe they stay within like a little canister. Maybe they, ejects from the
but
larger
where do you
machine.
See anybody in all the Star Wars canon? Where do you see anybody fucking eject in deep space? Like, hey, thanks for the advice, butthead. I'm just gonna skim the surface of the Death Star until I get captured? No way. hey, they're just gonna let me float away into deep space. Oh, what a sad death that would be. Fuck that. I'm going down with the plane. Eject. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, kamikaze.
The ending. The ending of this movie. Come on. I love it. Not a word is said. Yeah. It's just, you know,
some laughs.
The hero, you know, version of the Imperial March or whatever it is. You know, more heroic version of the main theme. Blasting trumpets. Yeah, some laughs and stuff, but great. No one said a word for the last 5 minutes. It was just great acting. I mean, the Wookiee got ripped up.
I was gonna
say, do you think they didn't give him a medal?
If someone's gonna say something, it's gonna be like, why don't we give Chewbacca a medal?
Why do you think they chose they had to look at that scene and be okay, now do we give Chewbacca a medal or not? And they decided not.
I think it just looked better to have their two white male heroes in the center.
I guess it is 1977, yeah, wasn't exactly. It? Yeah.
Chewbacca's just the dog.
A really smart dog.
We don't give any flew the plane.
That's too bad. He got ripped up. But doesn't Luke gives him his medal in the eighth one, doesn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Leia. Leia gives Chewie a medal. It's a side scene. Yeah.
They're trying to compensate for all the bad decisions.
Yeah,
in the past.
In number eight, I believe it was. Yeah. She gives Chewie a medal or whatever like that. So.
I need to go back to those last, or at least the middle one there.
Anyways, I loved going back to this. I was kind of going, like, maybe we should watch The Revenge of the Sith. I knew it was going to be bad. We could rip into it. But then I was like, no, you know what? Let's talk about our first Star Wars experience and how great a movie A New Hope is. And no wonder, you know, we're 44 years old and still loving Star Wars. I mean, look what got us off the ground into the universe. We are one of the lucky ones. I think I don't think a lot of kids can, my kids can't go back and watch these originals. They have no interest in them whatsoever. And it's too bad. It's too bad that I have kids.
Yeah, but our kids have the Descendants. Mm. You know what our kids have?
They have Ariana Grande.
Right, I was going to get into Ariana Grande.
I know you were. That was a little...
Yeah, that was good. Good for you.
You like that?
Okay.
Yeah, because this is what my kids do. They just watch Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, and they just, you know, go, they just play episode after episode. And I guess, you know, in the 2000s, like when we grew up too, we had Full House and Saved by the Bell.
We had our teeny pop stars.
Teeny pop stars. And
Ricky Schroeder and
Gary Pains, Gary Coleman. Silver Spoon.
Yeah. Kirk Cameron.
Different Strokes.
You got it.
Okay, all these ones. Yeah. So I don't know any of the ones that our kids would have grown up in. And these were not necessarily our kids, because our kids are watching our shows that were done 10,
right,
15 years ago.
Exactly. They're getting all these old Disney shows that used to...
That millennials, I guess, would have grown up on.
I guess so, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. What's the generation after us?
Millennials.
Okay, them.
So we talked about Zendaya in the past. She was in the show with Bella Thorne, right?
Yeah, she's a Disney, and Disney.
She was a Disney person. Yep. And then now she's like a major movie star.
Yeah, and Bella Thorne's now a porn star. I mean,
is she really?
Go Disney. Oh, yeah.
We don't know that.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
She is an adult film star now.
So now the kids are watching.
Adult film stars.
Bella Thorne.
In their early days.
Ariana Grande was in, and I think I kind of knew this. Maybe I didn't know. I don't know if I knew this or not. But she was obviously an actress before, and she was in the show called Victorious in 2010 to 2013, and then in Sam and Cat in 2013.
I know Sam and Cat because my daughters watched that. Yeah.
So like, it's just I can't can't look away. Like, I just have to, she's the comic relief in some way. Like, she plays the dummy.
Her
voice is so bad.
Oh.
It's a choice. They made a choice.
I can't stand it, man.
And again, I think and this is probably why Ariana Grande can go and kill it on Saturday Night Live and go on to late night talk shows and do amazing impressions, because she is a solid actor.
She became a singer. Yeah.
Became a singer. But it just my origin story of Ariana Grande is her coming in with like an album like Dangerous Woman and all of the good songs in 2016. And she's a pop star. And so it's just, I think it's always funny when I see this perspective of how this person actually came through the system. But yeah, so that's what my kids are watching a lot. Yeah, no,
my kid was watching something on Disney Plus, and that idiot Jake Paul was on it. And I guess that was his. He's one of those Paul brothers. They're like YouTube. They're like boxing. They're like into boxing now. They were like YouTube guys.
Okay.
Anyways, they're a couple of just chumps. These two chumpy brothers. Anyways, but I guess this the Paul Chump brothers. But mm-hmm. I guess they got their start on Disney as well. And my daughters were watching a show, and I was like, "Oh, there's that chump Jake Paul on there before he became a chump, pre-chump." So what's Disney doing to all these kids in the background is what I'm starting to wonder now. They start them off, and then they shove them on their way to become porn stars and chumps.
Oh, I've
only a small batch of them, like Zedania and Oreo Grande, are making it in this world. The rest of them are all fucked.
I don't know.
Disney's fucking our kids up. again, like I said, you know, been recovering, sitting in the tub, watching lots of movies. So, lately I've just been watching lots of crime movies. Nothing
crime.
Yeah. Like either cop movies or mm-hmm. just, I don't know, crime movies. I don't know.
Are you crying at the crime movies?
What movie has made me cry lately? None of them. Mm. None of them. I was trying to think anything really, nothing stood out for me that I, you know, really want to mention other than in Harsh Times, Christian Bale's performance in Harsh Time. I mean, he's an amazing actor. He plays this down and out kind of East LA burnout guy, ex-Marine looking for work, and he's just super psycho crazy. And it's just basically 48 hours of him and his buddy driving around East LA looking for work, and his buddy's looking for work, and he's just basically keeps dragging his buddy into trouble the whole time. Anyways, that's a good watch. It's called Harsh Times.
But you want me to watch Good Times?
I want you to watch Good Times.
And now Harsh Times?
No, that's kind of icing. If
I'll spend my time watching Good Times.
Good Times, yes. But not good Harsh Times. And I rewatched Rennie Harlan's A Long Kiss Goodnight, starring Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson, because I used to love this movie, mm-hmm. and then I saw it on the Netflix. They just brought it out, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and watch this. It sucked so bad. So it does not hold up. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Don't
leave it back in the 90s. Mm. Leave it as A Long Kiss Goodnight.
It's time for Generic Movie Trivia Game.
Generic Random Movie Trivia Game.
Random Movie Film Trivia Generic Game.
So what did we say? Our new rules was that we get one card, right?
I'm just going to keep changing the rules until I start winning.
Okay.
I just realized that I was being a doofus with that. So we can do whatever rules. I'll continue to lose.
No, I think that's a good one. We'll take one card each. And of course,
if I don't win, we'll change the rules again. So I took the top one. Am I taking the top one?
Oh, you take whatever one you want.
Okay. Well, is there no order?
Except from the bottom.
Okay, good. Okay. That's where the old ones are.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so we take one card. There are four questions.
Four questions.
And I'm going to ask you three of them.
Well, let's just do the whole card.
Oh, okay.
Let's keep switching it up.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to ask the...
Are we going 1-1-1-1-1?
Yeah,
or are you going to do all
one,
four
one.
And then
let's
I do...
Let's do 1-1-1.
Okay,
one.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
What no, do you yeah, think? Yeah. You go first.
Yeah.
You ask me one, I'll ask
okay.
you. Okay,
okay,
go.
Here we go.
Okay, round one.
Sean, who plays Harry and Sally in When Harry Met Sally?
Billy Crystal.
And who played Sally?
Oh, Meg Ryan.
Okay, here we go. That's
okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Bing for Sean.
Nice, here we go. Okay. Star Trek alumni George Takei called what 1999 film a powerful piece of documentary filmmaking? A powerful piece of documentary filmmaking.
1999?
Yeah.
Oh my.
And I think he thought that because maybe it brought light to what it was like to star in a famous science fiction show. I'll give you that hint. It probably brought to light what it was like to star in a famous science fiction show. And it's not actually a documentary.
Oh.
I'm throwing you bones, dude.
1999.
3 seconds.
I don't know.
2 seconds.
I don't know.
Okay. A Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
I'm stupid.
Your rules.
What 1993 thriller features a murdered wife, a one-armed man, and an obsessed detective? What 1993 thriller features a murdered wife,
A one-armed man,
and an obsessed detective?
I think this action happened. What is it? The average foot speed of a fugitive out of the scene is 4 miles. That means we have a radius of 6 miles. I want checkpoints set up around it.
That's from The Fugitive.
You find this man. You find a one-armed man killed my wife. You find this man.
Yeah, ding for Sean.
Nice. All right. Come on, you got this. Here we go. You got this.
Think
okay.
Positive. Think positive.
In what Arnold Schwarzenegger movie does a magic ticket bring his character to life?
Probably like the soldier one. What is that thing called? Toy Soldier or something?
No. If you're the main dude in
Last Action Hero.
There you go. You got it. Barely.
I'm taking it. You got it. I knew
okay.
I had it.
Okay.
What movie was adapted from the book Traveling to Infinity, My Life with Steven? Interesting.
Traveling to Infinity?
What movie was adapted from the book Traveling to Infinity, My Life with Steven? Yeah. I don't know if I'd make this connection.
I don't know. Astronaut's wife. No, that's
Do you want me to give Steven's last name?
Sure.
Hawking. That's your one clue.
I know what movie. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah. The Theory of Everything.
The Theory of Everything. I never would get.
All right. Two for Sean. One for you. Russ. See if I can tie it up here.
All right. What prison movie did Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman star in?
Shawshank Redemption.
There you go.
Oh, there we go, ding, Russ. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, 2-2. Don't be a negative Nelly.
2-2? Yeah, there you
two,
go. 2-2. 2-2.
2-2. Okay, last right. one. Here All we go. Right. What 1998 movie based on a 60s TV show is about a family's intergalactic journey? All right. What 1998 movie based on a 60s TV show is about a family's intergalactic journey?
Lost in Space?
That's right. That's correct. Starring Matt LeBlanc.
All right. What 2004 sci-fi romance stars Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet? Sci-fi romance?
Yeah, interesting.
Why are they calling it sci-fi?
I know exactly what this movie
you
is.
Do. It's just got a weird title.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Perfect. Thank you. Nice. See, sci-fi. You're not so bad. We tied.
That's not bad.
3-3. And that was Super Random Generic Trivia Game.
A game with trivia about films that are random and generic.
Ooh, nice.
Well, I love you, man. Thanks.
I love you, too. This was good. Yeah, we hope. I can't believe this was our first Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took 31
episodes to talk about the Star Wars?
For us to actually pick and choose something about Star Wars related, which is amazing.
Well, and maybe we should do it for Andor.
Let's just hope they do that Andor right. I hope it's just they take a Rogue One and they say, okay, this is what worked well.
Yeah.
Let's just...
Everyone dies in the end.
Everyone, let's just continue on a Rogue One, like... The feeling, the aesthetics, you know what I mean? Like, let's just make it another arm of Rogue One, right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, I hope to be back in the theater soon, buddy.
Yeah. We'll go watch Maverick. Oh, you're like that guy from Police Academy.
Hey, weird. You said that already.
I'll go full Bobcat. Here we go.
Hey, you guys. Movies with me, watch that Tom Cruise movie. I think it's really good. Do you guys want some cocaine?
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.